You know, we read of a time when the disciples heard Jesus pray. It's wonderful. It says in Luke chapter 11. He was obviously praying out aloud with his disciples around him, just like we would pray aloud when we are with some fellow disciples. And these disciples, remember, had grown up in the synagogue listening to all the religious prayers the Pharisees prayed. And here we read in verse 1, Luke 11:1, that they heard Jesus pray. And they'd never heard anything like this in their life. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Verse 1. Lord, this is real prayer. This is communing with God. This is not some ritual. This is not something to ease our conscience, looking at our watch, okay, I spent 3 hours, that's all right now. I can get up. This is not like that. I mean, we've seen enough of that, Lord, in the synagogues. This is real. We've never heard in our life anything, any prayer like this, what we heard just now. Maybe it was only 5 minutes, but it was real. And they said, Lord, can you teach us to pray like this? And Jesus said, sure. This is how you must pray. The most important thing when you pray is that you must be concerned about the Father's name and His glory and not your own. See what He told them? When you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. If that is not your fundamental desire in life, your prayer would be just another religious ritual. It may be fervent and loud and screaming and zealous. There may be tears. There may be... actors can do that. God's not impressed. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, I don't speak as someone who's preaching to you. God is my witness that every day of my life I live in a judgment of myself. I stopped judging other people long ago. I did do that foolishly for many years and made a mess of my life. But I finished with all that. I don't judge any of you. It's not my business. I've got enough to do judging myself. I live before God and I say, Lord, am I seeking your glory? Or am I seeking my own here? And I want to tell you honestly, many, many times the Lord has shown me, there you were seeking your own. Even today. And I believe as I see it, I can repent. I can turn from it. And a little more fulfill the purpose with which Jesus placed me on this earth. I want to encourage you to live like that. If you want to live the most worthwhile life you can ever live in this one short life God gives you on this earth. My brothers and sisters, many years of our life have gone by. Some of you who are young, you are the luckiest people sitting here. Why are you the luckiest people sitting here? Because you can hear this message when you're young. And if you stick to it, imagine what you'll be if the Lord tarries when you're 50 or 60 years old, like me. Boy, you'd be one of the godliest people on earth if you live like this. I wish somebody had told me this when I was 19. This is what you got to live for, Zach. This is the only thing you must live for. I wish somebody had got a hold of me. I was converted when I was 19. And I wish somebody had got a hold of me at that time and said, this is what you must live for. And if ever they saw me slipping out, I wish I had a mentor who would hold me and say, no, that's not the way, Zach. Don't live for yourself. You'll regret it when you get to the end of your life. Live for God. Live for the glory of God. I struggled through religious Babylon for many years. Stumbled, fall, got up, stumbled, fall, stumbled. But I thank God I found something. And I want at least the closing years of my life to go from one degree of glory to another. But that's why I say you young people are the luckiest. Because you can hear this. I'm not saying you live this way. I hope you do. But whether you will or not, I don't know. I've seen a lot of young people who start off so well. God blesses them and they get so proud and they get so puffed up that God has to push them aside. I hope that will never happen to anybody sitting here. But if you're determined, like young Timothy, there's an example there in Scripture. Timothy was a very young man, probably about 18 years old, when Paul picked him up, 18 years old. I mean, it doesn't say that in Scripture, but perhaps I think he was a young man around that age. And by that time, he already had a good testimony in one or two churches around. And Paul picked him up, and he was so lucky to have a mentor like Paul, a man who didn't seek anything for himself, and who was straight in rebuking, correcting Timothy and encouraging him. And Timothy admired Paul, and he took Paul's word seriously. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I think Timothy said, I haven't seen Jesus, but I've seen Paul. And I know a little bit of what Jesus was like. Just like Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I believe that's your calling. Your children should be able to say, well, my dad wasn't perfect, but I saw a little bit in him of what Jesus was like. A fervent desire to glorify the Father. Imagine if your children can say that, well, my mom wasn't perfect, but I saw in her a little bit of what Jesus was like. Her only passion in life was to glorify God. Think if you've got younger brothers and they can look up to you. You know, it's a tremendous responsibility to be an older brother in a family with younger brothers under you, or an older sister with younger ones under you. They're looking up to you. I hope they can see something of Jesus. That's the only life worth living for. Father, what's your number one request? Hallowed be thy name. It's not easy. I can say it. I can repeat it. And, you know, like a ritual, from tomorrow onwards you can say, okay, Lord, hallowed be your name. And go around the rest of your life seeking your own. This is what's happening in Christendom. I've seen people, please listen to me. I've seen people who've heard me preach for 25 years the same truth. And they're seeking their own today. They'll nod their heads in every meeting. Yeah, Brother Zach, this is it. We got stirred. Thank you so much for that wonderful message. You see them 25 years later, they're still seeking their own. So I'm not so impressed when people come up to me and say, oh, Brother Zach, that was tremendous. I'd like to see you 25 years later. What is life? I hope you will be gripped by this. I want to tell you this. I have shared this in many places, in many countries. Very few, very, very few take it seriously. Everybody would prefer the other Jesus who does not make such demands. People say, oh brother, what a strain our life will be. What a tremendous strain it will be if in everything I have to seek whether the Father is going to be glorified in it. Do you think Jesus' life was such a life full of strain? You know, people who have a life full of strain get depressed. You think Jesus was depressed? Far from it. He was the happiest person that ever walked on this earth. It's the devil who tells you, your life will get all full of strain and tension if you try to live like this. No. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to the end of your life, you'll be a very, very happy person. Because you live for the same principle, the same thing that Jesus lived for. Father, I have glorified you on earth. And when the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he said, pray first. Father, hallowed be your name. Of course, in my life, first of all, I want your name to be glorified in my life. That's the main thing. You know how much Jesus taught his disciples? Don't live before the face of man. Don't live to impress man. Don't try to show other people how much you pray. Don't try to show other people how much you fast. Don't try to show other people how much you give or what a lot of work you've done. What you've done here or what you've done there. Live before the Father. Let it all be in secret. Let it be in secret. Let it be in secret. Don't let anybody know what you did. Let your Father see in secret and He'll reward you openly. He kept on telling that. The only important testimony is what your Father thinks about you. Not what your fellow believers think about you, whether they think you're spiritual or they think you're humble. It's all fit for the trash can, the garbage bin. What people think about me, and they don't know me. They see 1% of my life and they try to assess me. Do you know that all of you know about 1% of my life. Maybe members of my family know about 2%, but the remaining know about 1%. Even in your own family, they know so little because they don't know your thoughts, they don't know your motives, they don't know your goals in life, and you can have all this religious activity on the outside and look very spiritual. I want to say spirituality is determined by what are you living for? Listen to this. The thing you live for determines whether you're a sinner or a saint. What you're living for determines whether you're a spiritual person or a carnal person. It's not a question of how zealous you are. There are a lot of zealous people who are carnal. There are zealous communists. There are religious fundamentalists in every denomination who are zealous, who are even willing to become suicide bombers for their religion. What does it prove? It doesn't prove they're right. All these things don't mean anything. If your motivation in life is always, Lord, I will never seek my own. I've been taken out of that tree. This is the life of Jesus, where he never sought his own, but sought to glorify the Father. I want to tell you something. If you take it seriously, you may have to take some decisions in your life concerning certain things. It can change your whole lifestyle. And people don't want that. They want to come for a little conference, weekend conference like this, just feel nice and go back and live the same old lifestyle without too much adjustment. Maybe a little more prayer at home and a little extra money given for God's work here, or maybe an extra meeting, but not too much disturbance to my basic lifestyle. I mean, if you're like that, well, I'd say, brother, God bless you, if he can. But I don't think much is going to come out of it. But if you come before God and say, Lord, I am willing to pay the price this weekend. I don't care what it's going to cost me. I'm willing to give up everything I hold precious. I want to please you. I want to get some understanding this weekend on whether I'm really following you, the real Jesus, or an imaginary Jesus that makes me feel comfortable and nice.